Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Luke, chapter 10. My text today and the thoughts of the message come from chapter 10, verse 38 through verse 42. Luke 10:38 says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." What would you think of me if I told you that I never spoke to my wife? That I did not like to spend time with her, so I had every lame excuse to be gone. That I never sought for her opinion or wisdom on any matter. That when I was sad, sorrowing, or hurting, I never turned to her for comfort. That I never sought her welfare, nor attempted to please her. What would you say if I told you that I rarely thought about her, that I thought little of her as a woman or a wife, and that everything else in my life was more important than her? Yet I would declare unto you that I loved her. What would you think? What would you say? Now, if you had any sense, you would conclude that I did not love her. You would know that because of my actions that speak louder than my words. Why? Because you know that love would not behave in such a fashion. And strange as it may seem, there are some professing Christians who treat Jesus in a similar manner as I've illustrated unto you regarding my wife. The lips say one thing, but their actions speak another. They say they love Jesus with all of their heart, but they are never found to be sitting at Jesus' feet. That's what I want to think about today as we embark upon this new year, a message which I have entitled, "Sit at Jesus' Feet." What a grand opportunity and objective for the year. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word and the privilege of being in your house, and thank you for these who are able to be with us today. Lord, just speak to our hearts through your word and teach us, guide us, draw us unto you, and Lord, help us to worship you and to honor you. We do ask if there's any in our midst who are lost, help them to see their need, and Lord, let the light shine in the darkness and just draw them to you and grant repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. Either way, Father, may it be our heart's desire to sit at your feet. May we learn of you. May we love you. So draw us unto you and forgive us for our sins. Thank you so much for this time. Be with the many that would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance, that you would bless them. Comfort the bereaved. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and amen. Sit at Jesus' feet. By the way, I love my wife, and the things that I mentioned were just for illustration only. We want to think about what we have in the text before us and what we read. There are several items I want to bring to your attention. There are six things that I will mention before we continue with the thoughts of the message itself. First of all, when you glance back into our verses, we find that there are two Christians in proximity of Jesus. And that tells us the matter of equality, opportunity. It's not like one was on the other side of the world and then the other was sitting right next to him. Not that at all. They both were in the house. They both had opportunity. They both had access to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit unto you, dear Christian friend, that you ought to recognize the fact that you always have access to Jesus Christ. He is always in proximity to you. We're told in the book of Hebrews that he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We know also in the book of Hebrews that we can come to God at any time to the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. We always have access to God. What a privilege. We don't have to go through an intercessor. We don't have to go through a priest. We can access God at any time. Here are two ladies here, Luke chapter 10, who had access to Jesus Christ. They're sisters, Martha and Mary. Secondly, we also found in our text that since guests were present in the home, that things needed to be done. Now, I think that's just a simple, ordinary understanding among men that, if somebody comes over to your house, do you have things to do? Will you not make preparation if you know they're coming ahead of time? And will you not also then take care of them while they're there? You want to express your hospitality? And so when we read in the text, we find that Jesus came and he entered into that certain village and entered into Martha's house. And so being the owner of the house and guests were there, not just Jesus, but the other disciples as well, that she had a lot on her plate. She had things to be done. And dear friend, we recognize as we go through this life as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ that there are always things to be done. Life is life, and it will always be before us as long as we take our breath. And, there's responsibility laid upon Martha. Point number three, we find then in the text, and we glance at verse 40 once again, Martha served those guests. It says in the beginning of the verse, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. And so she was busy. She was hospitable. She was serving. She was taking care of those people. And someone would say, hey, grab me a sandwich. Another says, hey, get me some chips. The other says, get me a soda from the fridge. And so she was just busy taking care of all these people. That's what Martha was doing. But then we noticed in verse 39 that it was very clear to us that her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And so we see a contrast between these two sisters. Both have total access to the Lord Jesus Christ. One is busy doing all these things, and the other is sitting at Jesus' feet. Well, we also read in the text, item number four, is that Martha became indignant since she was the only one serving. And so she had this burden upon her. And verse 40 says that she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can almost see her point at Mary. Do you not care that I'm doing all the work? She's just sitting here. She's doing nothing. And she left me to serve alone, it says in verse 40. So she became very indignant. Sometimes that happens within the Christian ranks that Christians can be so busy doing this and doing that, and they serve here, they serve there, they're laboring here, they're laboring there, and they're flittering here, and they're flittering there, and they have so much activity that sometimes they look at those who are not being as active as them, and they become indignant. And this is Martha here at this time, and so she's working herself to the bone, trying to get everybody served, and here's Mary sitting over there talking with Jesus and listening to him, and she didn't care for that because she was doing all the work. Well, verse 41, glance into our passage once again, and we find that Jesus truly spoke to her of her situation. Verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Yes, there's a lot on your plate, and you're worried about that, you're anxious about that, you're concerned. That is indeed her situation. But in contrast, then, the last point I want to remind you from our passage is that Jesus also addressed a higher priority when he said in verse 42, as he continued his statement unto Martha, he says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What you're doing is good, but there are other things that are more important than what you are doing. One thing is needful. It's a spiritual thing. It's a matter of Mary applying herself to the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at His feet, and He says that this is the good part. And so there is a higher priority, and the blessings that she receives from that shall not be taken away. As a pastor of one of the Lord's churches, I have a great opportunity to serve, and there are a lot of things that need to be done. And there's this and there's that and other things that need to be accomplished, and those are good things. Nothing wrong with those things. They do need to be accomplished as much as possible. But if I did all the things in the work of the church and left the Jesus sitting by Himself, then I am the one to pay for that. And you will be the one to suffer on that as well. Because it is needful that we all sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Can you see the picture here? Can you recognize and understand that as we all go through this life and we have so many things upon our schedule, we must make sure that we have time to sit at Jesus' feet. That's the point. That's the objective of the message. Hence the title of the lesson as a declaration, sit at Jesus' feet. Earthly things may be important. They are important, but they do not surpass heavenly things. I encourage you, my friend, to remember that phrase that someone stated years and years ago. I have no idea who ever came up with this, but it says only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And I'll tell you, my friend, of all that work you might do for Jesus Christ, sitting at His feet is what's needful. That's the best part. But if you do sit at His feet, you will be doing the other things as God gives you opportunity. So what we learn from this is that people needed to be served, but Mary found it necessary to spend time with Jesus, which, by the way, Jesus says is most important. Sit at Jesus' feet. So the second part of the message then, I've offered you the text and some thoughts concerning it. The second question is this: why should you sit at Jesus' feet? Why should you sit there? And you might raise that. Well, what's the point of that? What do I get out of that? Well, let me offer you some thoughts. Just bear with me as we go along and think through this matter. Mary has chosen a good part. It will not be taken away from her. Why should you sit at Jesus' feet? Why should you heed the exhortation to spend time with Jesus Christ? Number one, I submit unto you simply out of companionship, personal interaction. We are human beings. We're generally made to be social creatures. We need that interaction. Most often, and the majority of time, when somebody's put into isolation, it really works in their mind. It really begins to hurt them psychologically. We need interaction. I submit unto you, simply out of companionship, you ought to sit with Jesus Christ. You ought to spend time with Him. Have personal interaction with Him. Do not tell me that you love your wife if you do not personally interact with your wife. Do not tell me you love your husband or your children if you do not personally interact with your husband or with your children or your friends or your neighbors. Don't tell me you love if you don't spend time with them or desire to spend time with them. And that's so true concerning the things of God, is it not? Concerning Jesus Christ. Simply, I want to be with Jesus. There ought to be a companionship. Number two, we ought to desire to sit at His feet out of love. That's that personal association. Just being near them. You don't have to talk, but you just be near, right? There's just something about it. When you love somebody, you just like being there, don't you? Isn't that true? And should not we sit at Jesus' feet because we love Him? We just simply want to be there. Now, the fortunate thing for Mary is she could hear Him speak. And we'll address this in just a moment. But what a privilege it is just to be near Jesus. And I know, my friend, in a spiritual sense, Christ is in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But He also is upon the throne of our heart. He dwells in our hearts by His Holy Spirit. And though we do not enter into His physical presence in that regard, we can certainly offer into His spiritual presence. Let us sit at His feet because we desire that companionship, because we love Him. We want to be near Him. But then thirdly, let me submit unto you that we ought to sit at His feet out of respect. and by that I think about a personal qualification. You're going to sit somewhere. And if you're going to sit anywhere, I encourage you that you want to sit there. I mean, you might want to be with people of the world. Nothing wrong with that. But I'll tell you, Jesus is the Son of God. And He is the Savior of the world. Who better to sit with? Who better to interact with? Who better to commune with than Jesus Christ? I cannot think of anyone better than that. You say, what about your wife? Yes, I want to commune with my wife, but all the greater I want to commune with Jesus Christ. We ought to sit at His feet simply out of respect, knowing who He is, God the Son. I want to sit and hear Him. And of course, that leads me then to the next point. Number four, we should sit at His feet because it's a place of instruction. Again, we read in the text that Mary heard Jesus. Now, we don't know what He was teaching. We don't know if He was giving doctrinal lessons or theological lessons or life lessons. We do not know what the conversation held. But we know that she sat at His feet and heard Him speak. What a thrill it is for us to sit at Jesus' feet and to have Him speak to us. A place of instruction. By the way, I believe that He'll do that through His Word. Through His Word. I encourage you to love God, love His Word, let God speak to you from that which He has written. And of course, when in our society, if we go, say we go away someplace, and say you go on a business trip, and you're halfway across the United States or on the other side of the world. Well, it used to be you could write letters, you know, you want to have that communion through letters. Now you can do it through instant access with email and telephone and things like that. But I'll tell you, my friend, tweet out to God, you know. Email Him. Be in contact with Him. You're going to receive instruction if you do. What a privilege it is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Why should we sit at the feet of Jesus? Number five, because it's a place of comfort. A place of comfort. Remember when you were young and you skinned your knee and you ran to Mom? And the mom would scoop you up in her arms. It's okay, son. Might even kiss your knee or whatever, you know. Clean it up. Put a little methylate on it. You remember methylate? Some of you don't. They don't do methylate anymore, I don't think. But boy, that would burn. But it would heal. It would clean. But Mom would be there. It's okay. The comfort, the pat, the kiss on the cheek. I'll tell you, my friend, aren't you comforted by your loved ones? How much more will you be comforted when you sit at Jesus' feet? As a Christian, you have an opportunity to be comforted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I would submit unto you point number six, we ought to sit at His feet because it's a place of security. Place of security. My grandsons, you know, especially my oldest grandson, he had no fear, but now he's starting to get afraid of things. And so sometimes what will happen is if a stranger will come in, he'll hide behind my son's leg, you know. He's hiding behind Dad, hiding behind Mom. You know why? Security. And I'll tell you, we need security. This life, well, it's a mess, isn't it? Aren't you glad that we can go to God and He is our security? We can trust Him. We can cast our care upon Him. We can just hang on to His providence and know that God will watch over us and His promises that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. What a place of security. Fear fills this world, but I'll tell you, there's comfort in the presence of God. Sit at the feet of Jesus and find the security that you need. Also, and perhaps maybe this is might be a side thought, but we should sit at His feet because it's a place of accountability. We don't think too much about accountability in our society, though we should. But you know what? If He can see you and hear you, you're accountable, aren't you? We often think we can get by with it because He's not watching, see? But if you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, there's an accountability factor. I'm sitting at His feet. That means I need to watch what I say and watch what I do and be careful and guard my heart. Why? Because He certainly knows. Well, I'll tell you, He knows anyway, whether you're sitting there or not, because He's God and He knows all things. But you get the practical application of that point, don't you? We ought to sit at Jesus' feet because we're accountable when we're in His presence. And then lastly, I would submit unto you, we ought to sit at His feet because it's a place of submission. He, after all, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, there are people that would just love to be in the presence of the president just because he's president. And they like to be in the presence of people with great power and great authority. Well, I'll tell you, there's none greater than Jesus Christ. He is the King. And when we sit at His feet, that demonstrates a matter of submission, a yielding, a surrender. I encourage you, dear Christian friend, make it your objective this new year to sit at Jesus' feet. And then you might raise the question, and this is the third point of the message, and it is, who should sit at His feet? Who? Well, I simply state unto you, any and all who profess to love Jesus. If I should ask you today, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, if I should ask you today if you're going to heaven when you die, you would say, yes, if you believe you're a Christian, you believe you're saved, yeah, I'm saved. I have a home in heaven. I'm a child of God. And you know what? I do love Jesus. You know, Christians will not hesitate to state that they love Jesus. So if you today profess that you love Jesus, then I should say unto you, sit at His feet. Every Martha, every Mary, every Lazarus needs to find time to sit at Jesus' feet. Dear fellow Christian, make it a point. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. But then I want to broaden the spectrum. Anyone who is yet to believe on Jesus, that is, Christians ought to believe, sit at His feet. But if you're not a Christian, you should sit at Jesus' feet. I cannot think of a better individual for you to turn to. Every worldly-minded person, every self-centered, proud individual, every enemy of righteousness needs to come and sit at Jesus' feet. You need the Savior. You need Him. He is your only hope. Turn to Him. Trust Him. Bow the knee to Jesus Christ. And so I would not leave here today saying, well, only Christians need to sit at Jesus' feet. No, everyone needs to, whether lost or whether saved. We need to be found to sit at Jesus' feet. Then let me ask the question, point number four, when should you sit at Jesus' feet? Well, that's a fair question, isn't it? When should I be found sitting at Jesus' feet? Well, in general, I would just have to answer, well, all the time is the best answer, but majority of the time would be a good answer as well. We need to be found to sit at Jesus' feet. Why is that? Turn, if you would, to a reference, John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, I want to remind you that as Christians, as believers, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. And so as we go about in our life, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We have responsibilities here. I'm not saying for you to chuck the responsibilities of the world. But we need to be found to be sitting at Jesus' feet. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. John chapter 15, verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. We are distinct from the world. God saved us out of the world. Titus chapter 2. Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 2. In verse 12, Paul writing to Titus, and he comes down here and he says that the grace of God has appeared. He's brought salvation to all men. Verse 12 says, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What do we find? That although we're in this world, we're not of this world. And so we need to be found sitting at Jesus' feet. And so I submit unto you, dear Christian friend, all the earthly living that needs to be done, and we all have those responsibilities, don't we? All of our earthly living needs to be done with a heavenly mind. As you go to work tomorrow, you can work, and you say, well, I don't have time, you know, I just can't sit around and open up my Bible and pray for 8 hours and they're going to pay me for it. No, they're not going to do that. But as you go to work, you can have the mind of Christ with you. And you can still pray, God, help me to make this right decision. Help me to understand. When I go into Onyx Medical, I ask God, God, give me grace to be the right kind of person I can be that I might live for you while I'm here, and give me wisdom to do my job right. That's approaching the world with the mind of Christ. We want to have a spiritual mind. But at the same time, I want to remind you, we have to be careful that you ever hear that phrase, he is so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good? I've found that there are some people like that. You say, well, that's a conflict, that's a contradiction. No, what it is they have, you need to emphasize the things of God in the spiritual aspect, but God still holds us accountable and responsible. If a man doesn't take care of his household, he's worse than an infidel, we're told in the Scripture. Well, yeah, you can have a heavenly mind, but one of the things you have to do with a heavenly mind is you need to take care of your family. That's just part of it. And so there are obligations, are we not? As servants, Paul writes to the Ephesian people, and he says, servants, you be obedient unto your masters. That's an employee-employer relationship. And so as you go to work tomorrow as a Christian, it's not right for you to sit back and read your Bible all day long and offer in prayer and all that kind of thing and try to get that guy to pay you. That's not right, is it? But as I've mentioned unto you, as you work, as you labor, you can have the mind of Christ, you can have the Spirit of God, you can have the Spirit of prayer, and you can do your job and you can do it well. Don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, but we do need to have a heavenly mind. Remember Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't you know there ought to be a balance, right? So, when should we sit at his feet? Well, the good answer is all the time, but, well, the majority of the time is what I would say to you. Even, and when you can't, if I'm driving down the interstate, I'm not going to bow my head in prayer. I'm going to have my eyes wide open and watch and pray and ask God to protect me on the interstate. That's okay, isn't it? Can I pray while I'm going down the interstate? You need to pray going around the interstate, especially in Memphis, amen. They'll shoot you. So you got to be careful about that. You need God to watch over you. But you certainly can't get on your knees. So have a proper mind. And I submit unto you, as we thought about those benefits of sitting at his feet, let me just make a quick application. When you need instruction, you sit at Jesus' feet. Especially spiritual instruction. Where are you going to find that? You're going to find it from God. So you seek him. You seek the Holy Spirit's guidance. You look into the Word. God, teach me. God, show me. But so many things apply to our life, does it not? The principles and the guidelines of Scripture. You need instruction? Sit at Jesus' feet. When you need comforted, sit at Jesus' feet. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. When you need security, he's your resource. He's the one to hide you, as a hen would cover the chicks, you know, with her wings. God watches over his own. You need security? Fearful? Turn to Jesus Christ. Cry out to God and sit at his feet. What about companionship? Yeah, we have earthly companionship, but we need spiritual companionship, and that's found by sitting at Jesus' feet. If you were sitting at that, if you were in that house at that time with Martha and Mary, where would you be? Would you be helping Martha doing all the serving, or would you be sitting at Jesus' feet right beside Mary? Have some companionship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you need to express your love, you want to be there, don't you? Tell Jesus, Jesus, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to please you. I want to interact with you. That's just how we ought to love, right? And so when you need to express your love, you sit at the feet of Jesus. And then I did submit unto you, and I would remind you that very often we ought to sit at his feet just for accountability's sake. By that I mean go before the Lord and just say, God, how am I doing? How are my labors? Am I serving you? Am I being found faithful? How am I as a church member? How am I as a worker? Am I loving you? Am I serving you? Am I demonstrating you in my life? Just for accountability's sake, we can turn to Jesus and pour out our heart and just ask, Lord, how am I doing? I also submit unto you that you should sit at his feet when you sense that you've wandered away. You know, in our society, we have a high divorce rate. And in our society, people just tend to walk off whenever they just feel like walking off, and they don't invest into the relationship. If you sense that you wandered away from the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've kind of been distracted by the things of the world, and we're going to look at a verse about that in just a second, then I encourage you, you need to turn back to Him, and you need to spend time with Him. Don't spend time out, spend more time with Him. And I think that'll make a difference for you. If you sense as a Christian that, you know what, I'm not as close to Jesus as I used to be. I don't walk with Him as I used to walk, and I don't speak with Him as I used to speak. I don't meditate upon Him as I used to meditate. Then it's not for you to fly. It's not for you to get out and find some other replacement. It's time to draw near. It's time to get closer to Jesus Christ. Sit at His feet. Go, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 8. Let me submit unto you, you ought to sit at His feet when you have been distracted and you become a Martha. It's easy to do that, by the way, in our society. Recall the parable of the sower, and I've invited you to Luke chapter 8. We're not going to read the parable, but I do want to point out one verse about the seed that fell among the thorns. Luke chapter 8, and verse 14, Jesus said, "And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." The seed is the word, but it falls among the thorns. It's the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of this life. And what will happen, dear Christian friend, if you're not careful, all the cares of life, those things that we must take care of, we need to take care of, we do have responsibility and obligation, but if we're not careful, we will allow those things to crowd Jesus Christ out. We will. We'll allow that to happen, and His Word will not produce perfection in us and fruit that needs to be produced because we've had so much of the world in there. When we recognize that, not just the wandering away, but His Word is being choked by the things that I have in my life, I need to sit at His feet. Let somebody else do the labor. I'm going to sit at His feet. Because His Word needs to take root, and I want to bring forth fruit to perfection, not to imperfection. And then let me submit unto you, when should you sit at Jesus' feet? Well, when there is sin in your life, and you like to have it so. In other words, if you've gotten to the place where you recognize there's sin in my life, and you know what? That doesn't bother me anymore. That's a time to sit at Jesus' feet. That's a time to draw near. That's a time to go into His presence and say, "God, I've gone cold, I've been distanced, I'm calloused, this stuff is in my life, and you know what? I'm content with it. Please make me discontent. Take these things away." When we sin and we like to pursue that, then we need to be sitting at Jesus' feet. And very simply, when you should sit at His feet really is all the time if you can. But at least have the mind of Christ when you can't do it physically. Again, you're driving down the road, you're working at a job, you're doing a task, you can still have the mind of Christ. You can. You need to sit at Jesus' feet. I pray that that's spoken to you a little bit. That this discussion about Martha and Mary, we can learn from that. But let me offer you then in closing two things and I'll be finished. Number one, in this new year, would you as a Christian determine to spend more time at the feet of Jesus? This is a great time to do that. You know, at the beginning of the year, you can make some objectives and goals. This would be a good time, dear believer, for you to say, you know what, life is important. I need to take care of these things, but I've neglected Jesus and I love Him. And so I, by God's grace, will determine to spend more time at Jesus' feet. And of course, you say, well, how do we do that? I submit unto you that you spend more time in prayer. You'll be found to be sit at Jesus' feet. Spend time in the Bible, my friend. Let God's Word speak to you, and you'll be sitting at Jesus' feet. Have times of meditation where you just ponder and think and reflect upon those things in your life and the things of the Word of God, God's purpose in your life and what's going on. Meditate and you'll be found to sit at Jesus' feet. I submit unto you, faithful church attendance is sitting at Jesus' feet. Why? Because you'll hear the word of God, and that's what God will take to work that in your heart and in your life. Somehow make some time to sit at Jesus' feet. And then I say unto you, secondly, dear unbeliever, you're here, you're lost. Would you recognize your great need, your spiritual bankruptcy, and would you turn to the Savior today? Would you be willing to be found at Jesus' feet? And your priority is to go before Him and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I deserve judgment, I deserve hell, and there ain't anything I can do about it. But you love me, you gave your life for me, you can give me eternal life. Would you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today? Would you trust Him? Would you sit at His feet and be saved? And then would you be found the rest of your life to be sitting at His feet, hearing Him, communing with Him, loving Him? Sit at Jesus' feet. Let's stand. Father, thank you so much for your word, and just speak it to our hearts as only you can. Work it by your Spirit. Cause me, O God, to love you more, to serve you better, to be found faithful and true. Lord, cause me to spend more time at your feet. And when I'm not at your feet in the sense of in the presence, but out and doing the things of necessity, whether for you or for the things of the world, and work or whatever, help me to have the mind of Christ. I might have the Spirit of Him with me and that communion in my heart. Cause it to be true for every one of us here today who name your name. Cause us to love you. Cause us to sit at your feet. And we do pray for the lost that you might bring them to yourself that they might be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Number 366, if you would. Number 366.